Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion at the 12th Hour. In the Liberty Hill, Texas today is June 1, 2016, Art is Sivian 26, 2020. I will start the second service today with a song that I have written entitled, A Church Down in the Valley.
Transgression of the Law, Part 2. We're going to continue now with our study series. Sin occurs 448 times in the King James Version of the Bible in 389 verses. And that's a lot of words, sin, in the Bible. And there's a reason for it. Sin is more than just saying the word. Sin is sin, and I don't care who it's in. And as the old saying is and was and still is, sin is sin, and I don't care who it's in. Which somebody made famous, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to read a few scriptures that has the word sin in it. Okay, now it says in Genesis 39:9, there is none greater in this house, neither I, neither hath he kept back anything from me, but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Yahweh? Sin against the King, the Father of Heaven, or Heavenly Father, in other words. Now this is Joseph talking, and we might turn and start with verse 1 on Genesis 39 and kind of get a foundation of what we're talking about here. Joseph, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And Yahweh was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that Yahweh was with him, and that Yahweh made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Yahweh blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of Yahweh was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, and neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against the Yahweh, the Father?" And verse 10, "And it came to pass as he spake unto Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me,' and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, 'See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Yahweh came home, until his master came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, 'The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me.' And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, 'After this manner did thy servant to me,' that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, at a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And the Yahweh was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did, there he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because Yahweh was with him, and that which he did, the Yahweh made it to prosper." So right there it goes to show you, when you make that your number one purpose, that you will not sin against Yahweh, no matter what the circumstances are, Yahweh will bless you and cause you to prosper in whatever you put your hand to. So this is what I'm wanting, this is the message that I want to pass on to my brethren, my Gentile brethren here in the Liberty Hill, Texas area, and roundabout Austin area, and then the whole United States, and then the whole world. Follow the example of Joseph, and you can never fail. I'm going to read now from a compilation I put together here by my wife back in 2005, serving self idolatry as self serving self and committing sin. Did you know that you can practice idolatry just by going about your daily activities, not realizing there's anything wrong with it? The question, is there a connection between sin and serving self? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of the Yahweh is eternal life through the Yeshua Messiah, our Savior. Sin, Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine, and the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You get that? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. Self, 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in the Yahshua, Messiah, our Savior, I die daily. Paul is saying he is careful not to serve self and doing his own pleasure. Sin, 1 John 3:4, verse 8 and 9, and verse 17 and 21. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Elohim was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of Elohim doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of Elohim. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, what about that? It says, keep yourself from idols. Well, what are idols? Maybe we'll read a little bit more here and see what idols are. It says, sin in self. There is an individual work to be done for each one of us. I know there are many who are placing themselves in the right relation under Yahshua, whose one thought is to bring the message of the present truth before the people of the world. They stand continually ready to offer their services. But my heart aches when I see so many who are satisfied with a cheap experience, an experience that costs them but little. Their lives, I say, that for them Yahshua has died in vain. Okay. Self. If you do not feel that it is an honor to be a partaker of the sufferings of Yahshua, if you feel no burden of soul for those who are ready to perish, if you are unwilling to sacrifice that you may save means for the work that is to be done, there will be no room for you in the kingdom of the Elohim. We can upgrade that to this everlasting kingdom of heaven that is being set up here even as we speak here in this 12th parabolic hour that we have entered in since 2002. I know there's going to be questions. How do you know what the parabolic hour we're in, that we're in the last parabolic hour? Well, it says in 2 Peter 1:19, you have also a more sure word of prophecy. You do well to take heed as unto light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart. Okay, so now if you take heed unto prophecy, Yahshua told the disciples there in John 11:9, he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? Work while you have the light. Okay, so we're in the 12th hour and we still got light and we're working here in the 12th hour. Self, will you, my ministering brethren, grasp the rich promises of the Yahweh, of the Father? Will you put self out of sight and let Yahshua appear? Self must die before the Father can work through you. I feel alarmed as I see self cropping out in one and another here and there. I tell you in the name of Yahshua of Nazareth, your wills must die. They must become as the Yahweh's will. He wants to melt you over and to cleanse you from every defilement. There is a great work to be done for you before you can be filled with the power of the Father. I beseech you to draw nigh unto him, that you may realize his rich blessing before your time is up in this world. Self, there are those here upon whom the great light and the warnings and reproofs has shone. Whenever reproofs are given, the enemy seeks to create in those reproved a desire for the human sympathy. Therefore, I would warn you to beware lest in the appealing unto the sympathy of the others and going back over your past trials, you again err on the same points. In seeking to build yourself up, the Yahweh brings his erring children over the same ground again and again. But if they continually fail to heed the admonitions of his Spirit, if they fail to reform on every point where they have erred, he will finally leave them unto their own weakness. Okay? Self, I entreat you, brethren, to come to Yahshua and drink. Drink freely of the water of the salvation. Do not appeal unto your own feelings. Do not think that sentimentalism is a religion. Shake yourself from every human prop and lean heavily upon the Savior. You need a new fitting up before you are prepared to engage in the work of the saving souls. Your words, your actions have an influence upon others, and you must meet that influence in the day of the Elohim. Yahshua said, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Revelation 3:8. Light is shining from that door, and it is our privilege to receive that light, if we will. Let us direct our eyes within that open door and try to receive all that the Savior is willing to bestow upon us. Sin. Each one will have a close struggle to overcome sin in his own heart. This is at times a very painful and discouraging work, because as we see the deformities in our character, we keep looking at them when we should look unto the Savior and put on the robe of his righteousness. Everyone who enters the pearly gates of the city of the Father will enter there as a conqueror, and his greatest conquest will have been the conquest itself. Sin, said the angel, if light come and that light is set aside or rejected, then comes the condemnation and the frown of the Father. But before the light comes, there is no sin, for there is no light for them to reject. Okay, now let's look at yourself again. When you realize the transforming influence of the power of the Father upon your heart, it will be seen in your life. You have lacked a religious experience, but it is not too late for you now to seek Elohim with the earnest, heartfelt cries, "What shall I do to be saved?" You can never be a true believer until you are thoroughly converted. It actually says true Christian. I like to use that word believer. To me, it has a more clarity identifying a true Christian in a sense of, does he or does he not truly believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in that order, and use the agency of the Holy Spirit as his instructor and guide and all-seeing eye and power that Yahshua had promised unto his disciples when he says, it is expedient that I go away so that I can pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. And he said, if I don't go away, this comforter won't come unto you. But it is expedient that I go away, because I can't always stay here anyway. Since that is the truth, the Father has provided now a medium which will be with you 24 hours a day and unto the ends of the earth, wherever you may go, as your teacher, protector, and guide. So that is a wonderful, wonderful gift. Now there's your gift of the Holy Spirit, if you want to call the Holy Spirit a gift. That is lending itself unto your every help and need that you need. Now, Samson would have been all kinds of hurt if he didn't have access immediately unto that spirit. Because that lion had eyed Samson coming down the lane there by the vineyards at Timnath. And he's a hungry lion, and he sees an opportunity to add this Samson unto the food chain. And that was his full intention. But we know the story. Samson had a special endowment of the Holy Spirit that was available to him at all times. And so whenever he needed it, it was there immediately when he needed it. Okay. You can never be a true Christian until you are thoroughly converted. You have to be a lover of pleasure. No, you have been a lover of pleasure more than a lover of the Father. You have been seeking after pleasure, but have you found real enjoyment in this course? You have sought to make yourself agreeable to young and experienced girls. You've had your mind so much upon them that you could not direct it upward unto the Father in heaven. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This exhortation is applicable unto you. You need to learn the ways, the will, and works of the Father. For you need the pure and undefiled religion. You need to cultivate devotional feeling. Cease to do evil and learn to do well. For the blessing of the Father cannot rest upon you until you become more like His Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Okay, now we go to this word self again. Oh, I beg of you, who have so little interest in the holy things, to closely investigate your own heart. What plea will you make before Elohim the Father for your worldly unconsecrated life? In that dread day, you will have no plea to make. You will be speechless. Think in your pleasure, seeking ours, that all these things have an end. Did you have correct views of the life, endless life with the Father? How quickly would you turn from a life of the pleasure and sin? How quickly would you change your mind, your course, and your company, and turn the strength of your affection unto the Father and heavenly things? How resolutely would you scorn for the yielding unto the temptations that have deceived and captivated you? How zealous would be your efforts for the blessed life? How earnest and persevering your prayers unto the Father for His grace for the abiding upon you, for His power for the sustaining you, and for the help that you resist the devil. How diligent would you be to improve every religious privilege for the learning of the ways and will of the Father? How careful would you be in the meditating upon the law of the Father and in the comparing your life with His claims? How fearful would you be lest you sin in word or deed, and how earnest to grow in the grace and true righteousness, for your conversation would not be on the trifling things but in heaven. Then a glorious and eternal things would open before you, and you would not rest until you should increase more and more in the spirituality. Verily, earthly things claim your attention, and the Father is forgotten. I implore you to face right about and to seek the Father that he may be found of you. Call upon him while he is near. Self, a brother, fails to realize the sanctifying influence of the truth of the Father upon the heart. He is not as patient, humble, and forbearing as he should be. He is easily stirred, self arises, and he says, and does many things without to do reflection. He does not at all times exert his saving influence. If he were imbued with the spirit of Yahshua, he could win, he could with one hand take a hold of the Mighty One, or with the hand of faith and love, he would reach the poor sinner, brother, needs the powerful influence of divine love, for this will renew and refine the heart, sanctify the life, and elevate and ennoble the entire man. This, then his words and works will savor of heaven rather than of his own spirit. 3T65. Self. If the words of the eternal life are sown in the heart, fruit will be produced unto righteousness and peace. A spirit of self-sufficiency and self-importance must be overcome by you, my dear brother. You should cultivate a spirit that is willing to be instructed and counseled. Whatever others may say or do, you should say, what is that to me? Yahshua has bidden me follow him. You should cultivate a spirit of meekness. You need an experience in a genuine righteousness, and unless you have this, you cannot engage in the work of the Elohim understandingly. Your spirit must soften and be subdued by being brought into obedience to the will of the Yahshua. You should at all times maintain a lowly dignity of a follower of the Yahshua. For our deportment, our words and actions, preach unto others. We are living epistles known and read of all men. 3T65. Elohim, sin. Elohim had specially guarded his people against mingling with the idolatrous nations around them, lest their hearts should be deceived by the attractive groves and shrines, temples, and altars which were arranged in the most expensive, alluring manner to pervert the senses so that Elohim would be supplanted in the minds of the people. 3T 263. Sin. The city of Jericho was devoted to the most extravagant idolatry, for the inhabitants were very wealthy, but all the riches that Elohim had given them, they counted as the gift of their gods. They had gold and silver in abundance, but like the people before the flood, they were corrupt and blasphemous, and insulted and provoked the Elohim of heaven by their wicked works. Elohim's judgments were awakened against Jericho. It was a stronghold. But the captain of the Yahweh's host himself came from the heaven. Actually, this is the captain of the Yahweh is the Father. Yahweh's host himself came from heaven to lead the army. So the Yahshua is the Son is the captain of the Father's host. Came to lead the armies of heaven in an attack upon the city. Angels of the Elohim, the Father, laid hold of the massive walls and brought them unto the ground. Elohim had said that the city of Jericho should be accursed and that all should perish except Rahab and her household. These should be saved because of the favor that Rahab showed the messengers of the Yahweh. The word of Yahweh unto his people was, and ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it, and Joshua adjured them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Yahweh that rises up and buildeth this city Jericho, He shall lay the foundation of in his firstborn, and in his youngest sons shall he set up the gates of it. 3T 264. Sin. Elohim was very particular in regard unto Jericho, lest the people should be charmed with the things that the inhabitants had worshipped, and their hearts be diverted from the Yahweh, the Father, for he guarded his people by the most positive commands. Yet, notwithstanding the solemn injunction from the Elohim by the mouth of the Joshua, Achan ventured to transgress. His covetousness led him to take of the treasures that the Elohim had forbidden him to touch, because the curse of Elohim was upon them, and because of this man's sin, the Israel of Elohim were as weak as water before their enemies. 3T 264. Sin. In his dealings with his people in the past, the Father shows the necessity of purifying the congregation from the wrong. One sinner may diffuse darkness that will exclude the light of the Elohim from the entire congregation. When the people realize that darkness is settling upon them and they do not know the cause, they should seek Elohim earnestly in the great humility and self-abasement until the wrongs which grieve his spirit are searched out and put away. 3T 265. Sin. For the prejudice which has arisen against us because we have reproved the wrongs that Elohim has shown me existed, and the cry that has been raised of the harshness and severity are unjust. Elohim bids us speak, and we will not be silent. If wrongs are apparent among his people, and if the servants of Elohim pass on indifferent unto them, they rush to sustain and justify the sinner, and are alike guilty, and will just as surely receive the displeasure of Elohim, for they will be made responsible for the sins of the guilty. In vision, I have been pointed to many instances where the displeasure of the Yahweh has been incurred by a neglect on the part of his servants to deal with the wrongs and sins existing among them. Those who have excused these wrongs have been thought by the people to be very amiable and lovely in disposition, simply because they shun to discharge a plain scriptural duty. For the task was not agreeable unto their feelings, therefore they avoided it. 3T 265. In other words, for those of you that are not familiar with these numbers, when I give 3T, it's a testimony, volume 3 by Ellen G. White. And it's page 265. Self. For the spirit of the hatred which has existed with some because of wrongs among the Yahweh's people have been reproved, has brought blindness and a fearful deception upon their own souls, making it impossible for them to discriminate between right and wrong. They have put out their own spiritual eyesight. They may witness wrongs, but they do not feel as did Joshua and humble themselves because the danger of the souls is felt by them. 3T 266. Sin. For the true people of Elohim, who have the spirit of the work of the Yahweh and the salvation of the souls at heart, will never view sin in its real sinful character. They will always be on the side of the faithful and plain dealing with sins, which easily beset the people of the Father, especially in the closing work for the congregation and the sealing time of the 144,000 who are to stand without fault before the throne of Elohim. Well, they feel most deeply the wrongs of Elohim's professed people. This is forcibly set forth by the prophet's illustration of the last work under the figure of the men each having a slaughter weapon in his hand. One man among them was clothed with a linen with the writer's ink on by his side. And the Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that signed their cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. 3T 266. Sin. Who are standing in the council of the Elohim at this time? Is it those who virtually excuse wrongs among the professed people of Elohim and who murmur in their hearts if not openly against those who would reprove sin, is it those who take their stand against him and sympathize with those who commit wrong? No, indeed. Unless he repent and leave the work of Satan in oppressing those who have the burden of the work and in the holding up the hands of sinners in Zion, they will never receive the mark of Elohim's seal and approval. They will fall in the general destruction of the wicked, represented by the work of the five men bearing slaughter weapons. Mark this point with care. Those who receive the pure mark of the truth wrought in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, represented by a mark by the man in the linen, are those that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the congregation. For their love for the purity and the honor of the glory of the Elohim is such, and they have so clear a view of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that they are represented as being in agony, even sighing and crying. Read the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. That's found in Testimony, Volume 3, page 267. Sin. But the general slaughter of all those who do not thus see the wide contrast between sin and righteousness, and who do not feel as those do who stand in the council of the Elohim and receive the mark as described in the order unto the five men with the slaughter weapons. Go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary. 3T 267. Sin. In the case of Achan's sin, the father said unto Joshua, neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. How does this instance compare with the course pursued by those who will not raise their voice against sin and wrong, but whose sympathies are ever found with those who trouble the camp of Israel with their sin? Said Elohim unto Joshua, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. He pronounced the punishment which would follow the transgression of his covenant. 3:2-2:67. Sin. Never was there a greater need of faithful warnings and reproofs and close, straight dealings than at this very time. Satan has come down with great power, knowing that his time is short. He is flooding the world with the pleasing fables, and the people of the Elohim love to have smooth things spoken unto them. Sin and iniquity are not abhorred. I was shown that Elohim's people must make more firm, determined efforts to press back the incoming darkness. The close work of the spirit of Elohim is needed now as never before. Stupidity must be shaken off. We must arouse from the lethargy that will prove our destruction unless we resist it. Satan has a powerful controlling influence upon minds. Preachers and people are in danger of being found upon the side of the powers of darkness. There is no such thing now as a neutral position. We are all decidedly for the right or decidedly with the wrong, said the Yahshua. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. 3:27. Sin. Those who have in the fear of the Elohim ventured out to faithfully meet error and sin, calling sin by its right name, have discharged a disagreeable duty with much suffering of feelings to themselves, but they get the sympathy of but few and suffer the neglect of the many. For the sympathizers on the wrong side, and they carry out the purposes of Satan to defeat the design of the Father. 3:3:28. So unto the Apostle Paul, praying in the temple at Jerusalem, came the message, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So those who are called to unite with the Yahshua must leave all in order to follow him. Old associations must be broken up, plans of the life relinquished, earthly hopes surrendered in toil and tears, in solitude and through sacrifice must the seed be sown. G.W. Gospel Workers, page 112. Those who consecrate body, soul, and spirit to Elohim will constantly receive a new endowment of the physical, mental, and spiritual power. For the inexhaustible supplies of the heaven are at their command. Yahshua gives them the breath of his own spirit, the life of his own life. The Holy Spirit puts forth the highest energy to work in the heart and mind, for the grace of Elohim enlarges and multiplies the faculty, and every perfection of the divine nature comes unto their assistance in the work of saving souls. Through cooperation with the Yahshua, they are made complete in him, and in their human weakness, they are enabled to do the deeds of the omnipotence. Gospel Workers 1:12. Self, for the Redeemer will not accept divided service. Daily, the worker for the Elohim must learn the meaning of self-surrender. He must study the word of Elohim, learning its meaning and obeying its precept. Thus we may reach the standard of the Christian excellence. Day by day, Elohim works with him, perfecting the character that is the sand in the time of the final test. And day by day, the believer is working out before men and angels a sublime experiment, showing that the gospel can what the gospel can do for fallen human beings. The Gospel Workers 1:13. Unselfish. Today the Savior calls us, as he called Matthew and John and Peter, to his work. If our hearts are touched by his love, the question of the compensation will not be uppermost in our mind. We shall rejoice to be co-workers with the Yahshua, and we shall not fear to trust his care. If we make Elohim our strength, we shall have clear perceptions of the duty and unselfish aspiration. Our life will be actuated by a noble purpose which will raise us above sordid motives. Gospel Workers 1:14. Sin and self. The time demands greater efficiency and deeper consecration. I cry unto Elohim, raise up and send forth messengers filled with a sense of their responsibility, men in whose hearts self-idolatry, which lies at the foundation of all sin, has been crucified, who are willing to consecrate themselves without reserve unto Elohim's service, whose souls are alive to the sacredness of the work and the responsibility of their calling, who are determined not to bring to Elohim's maimed sacrifice, which costs them neither effort nor prayer. Gospel Workers, page 114. Now, these books that I'm quoting from, they're Ellen G. White's, the Prophetess of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. She wrote over 55 volumes of books covering every subject imaginable in the Bible and Bible prophecy. For the Duke of Wellington was once present where a party of Christian men were discussing the possibility of success and the missionary efforts among the heathen. They appealed to the Duke to say whether, in his judgment, such efforts were likely to prove a success commensurate to the cause. The old soldier replied, Gospel Workers 1:15, Gentlemen, what are your marching orders? Success is not the question for you to discuss. If I read your orders right, they run thus. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Gentlemen, obey your marching orders. Gospel Workers 1:15. Yahshua's servants are grieved as they see true and false believers mingled in the congregation. They long to do something to cleanse the congregation, like the servants of the householder. They are ready to uproot the tares, but Yahshua says unto them, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them, let both grow together until the harvest. And that's taken from Christ Object Lesson 71 by Ellen G. White. Yahshua has plainly taught that those who persist in the open sin must be separated from the congregation, that he has not committed unto us the work of judging character and motive. He knows our nature too well to entrust this work to us. Should we try to uproot from the congregation those whom we suppose to be spurious Christian, we should be sure to make mistakes. Often we regard as hopeless subjects the very ones whom Yahshua is drawing unto himself. Were we to deal with these souls according unto our imperfect judgment, it would perhaps extinguish their last hope. Many who think of themselves Christians will at last be found wanting. Many will be in heaven who their neighbors suppose would never enter there. Man as judgment from the appearance, but Elohim judges the heart, for the tares and the wheat are to grow together until the harvest, and the harvest is the end of the probationary time. That's Christ's object lesson, page 71. Now this is a statement here. It says the harvest, that the wheat are to grow together, the tares and the wheat, the good and the bad, are to grow together until the harvest, and the harvest is the end of the probationary time. That's an incorrect statement. Number one, they left out key words that should have been in there. Even though there's good intentions here, it should read like this: for the tares and the wheat are to grow together until the beginning of the time of the harvest, not at the end. And of the probationary time. Okay, that's Christ's object lesson 71. Okay, it says, sin. For the woman had stood before Yahshua cowering with fear. His words, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone, had come to her as a dead sinner. She did not lift her eyes unto the Savior's face, but silently awaited her doom. In astonishment, she saw her accusers depart speechless and confounded. Then those words of hope fell upon her ear. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How would you like to be a born sinner and been sinning all your life up to the moment that you meet the Savior face to face? And then he says, well, now, you were caught in the very act of committing a lewd sin with somebody. And we have seven witnesses here that they say they saw you. And so they brought you here to me to judge you. And they're witnessing that you committed this terrible sin. And so when Yahshua got to, though, casting dispersion upon her accusers, bending down and writing in the sand, he vanquished them by bringing judgment upon them first and foremost. Her accusers, because they were not guiltless, he brought judgment upon them first. And then as soon as they were vanquished, he turned to the one person, the one that was being condemned to be was condemned to begin with, and he says, well, now, where are your accusers? And she said, well, there's none. He says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, how would you like to be in her shoes and be a total sinner up to that very moment and then be commanded, go and sin no more. You know what sin is, and stop doing what you've been doing. How would anyone that's hearing this sermon, how would you like to be told to go and sin no more? Possibly you don't even know what all sins you're committing, if you are committing any. And so you'd be in great consternation to try to figure out, well, what do I do? He said her heart was melted, and she cast herself at the feet of Yahshua, sobbing out her grateful love, and with bitter tears confessing her sins. Desire of Ages 4:62. This was unto her the beginning of a new life, a life of purity and peace, devoted unto the service of Elohim and the uplifting of this fallen soul. Yahshua performed a greater miracle than in healing the most grievous physical disease. He cured the spiritual malady which is unto death everlasting. This penitent woman became one of his most steadfast followers. With self-sacrificing love and devotion, she repaid his forgiving mercy. Desire of Ages 4:62. The Master is disappointed when his people place a low estimate upon themselves. He desires his chosen heritage to value themselves according unto the price he has placed upon them. Elohim wanted them, else he would not have sent his son on such an expensive errand to redeem them. He has a use for them, and he is well pleased when they make the very highest demands upon him, that they may glorify his name. They may expect large things if they have faith in his promises. Desire of Ages 668 by the L.N.G. White. Okay, sin. But to pray in Yahshua's name means much. It means that we are to accept his character, manifest his spirit, and work his works. For the Savior's promise is given on condition. If you love me, he says, keep my commandment. He saves men not in the sin, but from sin. And those who love him will show their love by the obedience. Desire of Ages 668. As Yahshua lived the law and the humanity, so we may do if we will take a hold of the strong for strength. But we are not to place the responsibility of our duty upon others and wait for them to tell us what to do. We cannot depend for counsel upon humanity, for the Master will teach us our duty just as willingly as he will teach somebody else. If we come to him in faith, he will speak his message to us personally. Our hearts will often burn within us as one draws nigh to commune with us, as he did with Enoch. Those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease Elohim will know after presenting their case before him just what course to pursue, and they will receive not only wisdom, but also strength, power for obedience, for service, will be imparted unto them as Yahshua has promised. Whatever was given to Yahshua, the all things to supply the need of the fallen man, was given unto him as the head and representative of humanity. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3:22, Desire of Ages 668. Self and sin. Sanctification is not the work of a moment, an hour, a day, but of a lifetime. It is not gained by a happy flight of feeling, but is the result of constantly dying under sin and constantly living for the Yahshua. Wrongs cannot be righted, nor reformations wrought in the character by the feeble intermittent efforts. It is only by the long persevering effort, sore discipline, and stern conflict that we shall overcome. We know not one day how strong will be our conflict the next, so long as Satan reigns. We shall have self to subdue, besetting sins to be overcome, so long as life shall last. There will be no stopping place, no point which we can reach and say, I have fully attained. Sanctification is the result of lifelong obedience. Acts of the Apostles 5:60. Sin. None of the apostles and prophets ever claimed to be without sin. Men who have lived the nearest unto Elohim, men who would sacrifice life itself rather than knowingly commit a wrong act, men whom Elohim has honored with divine light and power, have confessed the sinfulness of their nature. They have put no confidence in the flesh, have claimed no righteousness of their own, but have trusted wholly in the righteousness of Yahshua. Acts the Apostles 5:61. So will it be with all who behold Yahshua. The nearer we come to Yahshua, and the more closely, or the more clearly we discern the purity of his character, the more clearly shall we see the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and the less shall we feel like exalting ourselves. There will be a continual reaching out of the soul after Elohim, a continual earnest, heartbreaking confession of sin, and humbling of the heart before him. At every advanced step in our Christian experience, our repentance will deepen. We shall know that our sufficiency is in Yahshua alone, and shall make the apostles' confession our own. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the Elohim forbid that I should glory save in the crucifixion of our Master, Yahshua Messiah, our Savior, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world, Romans 7:18, Galatians 6:14 and Acts the Apostles 5:61. Sin himself, that the recording angels write the history of the holy struggles and conflicts of the people of the Yahweh. Let them record their prayers and tears, but let not Elohim be dishonored by the declaration from the human lips. I am sinless, I am holy, sanctified lips will never give utterance to such presumptuous words. Acts the Apostles 5:61. Sin itself, let those who feel inclined to make a high profession of holiness look into the mirror of the Elohim's law, as they see its far-reaching claims and understand its work as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. They will not boast of the sinlessness. If we, it says John, are not separating himself from his brethren, say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:8, 10, and 9. Acts the Apostles 5:62. Prayer is heaven's ordained means of success in the conflict with sin. Okay, now there it is, prayer. And the development of the Christian character, for the divine influences that come and the answer unto the prayer of faith, will accomplish in the soul of the supplant all for which he pleased, for the pardon of sin, for the Holy Spirit, for a Yahshua-like temper, for wisdom and strength to do his work. For any gift he has promised, we may ask, and the promise is, you shall receive. Acts the Apostle 5:64. Well, actually, this brings in verse 10. This hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Okay, I'm going to close this service now for those who are listening maybe to this sermon for the first time. This song that I've written entitled, Let the Heavenly Light Shine Through. One of my sentimental favorites that I've written. Well, you would not have known about how wonderful you are if you hadn't created you. Well, you would not have known about his vast creation and all that he can do. So, Lord, here on the yard, remember to pray that the heavenly light shine through. And y'all, in his mercy, when he comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And the jar of his mercy when he comes again will have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been a creation of earth if y'all had not come down. He spoke to the law of creation, heard, and the world started spinning around. Then he spoke the word and the light appeared, he divided from the night. And y'all saw that his work was good, created by his mind. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. As y'all in his mercy when he comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you. Well, you come up on a mountain and you look around, there's a green valley below. There's a moon up above that shines with love and a peaceful river that flows. There's the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all that heaven can spare. And I think that this is just a glimpse of what's awaiting over there. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through, and y'all in his mercy when he comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you, and Yahweh is mercy when he comes to give a heavenly home for you.